At this time, though, I'd like to invite our three graduating seniors up. So Hannah and Maddie and DJ, why don't you come on up and stand here awkwardly before your church family. I'm going to keep my notes in front of me to make sure with all these moving parts I don't miss anything today. So let's grab a microphone here because you guys get to just share a little bit about what your future plans are after graduation. So before I let DJ speak here, I just want to say something about him. You know, I've been thinking over the course of this past week and reflecting on my time here at Alliance Church since coming in February of 2019, and I've gotten to engage with all three of these students, and it's been really, really sweet. So DJ and I, over the last 2 years or so, have connected over bags, cornhole, after pretty much every youth group over the course of the past couple of years. And we've gotten to know each other a lot better and just spent time connecting and just talking about life, usually for about an hour or so after youth group finishes up. Just a great time of mentoring. And I've learned more about him, and I've gotten to see his heart. And I got to see that heart on display during missions trips and other types of things that we've done together throughout our time at Alliance Youth. And I've just really appreciated him and his commitment to always being here, always being on time, and always serving selflessly. So, DJ, what are your future plans, man?
Before I get to that, I mean, I gave him the option too.
Okay. Yep. I'm sorry. I'll behave myself better than our senior pastor.
But no, without.
No, I feel seriously like though. I mean, I won't interrupt you any longer. Go ahead.
All right. Cool. Thanks. Playing bags with you. Highlight of every night, but I can't do it if I didn't ask my mom or dad to let me stay and play and just get to talk, and it's always fun, definitely a highlight of my week. But no, my plans are to go to the University of Northwestern and pursue a degree in civil engineering.
Thanks for sharing that, DJ. Hannah.
My turn.
If you stand in front of DJ, we can all see you.
Oh my
So she's exasperated by me routinely. But seriously, as I was thinking about Hannah and just the connection that we've been able to foster since 2019, it's been sweet. So one of my first experiences with Hannah was essentially me asking her for help because of the fact that I know absolutely nothing about music in any way, shape, or form. And coming in 2019, that was a big stress point for me. And she has faithfully served as the head of our worship team. And she has just been always present, always building up students, being able to grow herself. The place where she's at now with her heart in regards to worship and this right response to God, I'll be honest, and I think she'll admit to this too, it's completely different than it was several years ago. And that's a testament to the power of the transforming work of Jesus Christ. And I have been so grateful for her leadership, her selfless sacrifice, and everything that she brings to the table here at Alliance Youth. And I have to tell you this also, this past summer in Providence, Hannah's not a morning person. So after the first day, I learned my lesson, and I got up really early to make sure there was coffee available for Hannah when Hannah got out of bed, because, man, it benefited our whole team. So she's really short, but really short in the morning. So anyway, go. Hannah, what are your future plans?
Okay, well, on that note, I will be attending Crown College, and I will be majoring in business administration and marketing with a minor in worship ministry. And I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do there and through me there.
Fantastic, Hannah. Thank you.
Yes.
And Miss Maddie. So, Maddie, I have to say, all right. So there was this time that I remember, and I know Maddie's going to touch on this a little bit later, but so I'm not going to steal her thunder. But there was this time that I remember arriving at Joetta McLean's house, and it was a day that I had to pick up my son because it was literally the one day when he was in daycare over the course of the 2+ years or so that he was in that daycare that I went to pick him up because Laura had a conflict, and she always picked him up 100% of the time. And I entered into Joetta's house that day, and her and Maddie were sitting there talking, and it was like the Holy Spirit just orchestrated that entire series of events. That was the one time that I went to pick up my son because of scheduling conflicts and things like that. And Maddie was there, and Maddie was in need. And we were able to pray, and we were able to connect, and I was able to see and witness her heart. And we met together then after that time, and took, I don't know how many times, we probably walked like 8 times around the Alliance Church campus here and just talked about Jesus and just talked about where your heart was at. And the coolest thing that came out of that, and I'm going to remember this day forever because Maddie is terrified to public speak. Like, terrified to public speak. I'm making her feel so welcome and at ease right now, all right? But seriously, she was transformed so much so by an encounter with Jesus that she was willing to get up in front of largely a group of 40-plus strangers during an outdoor youth-held night of worship shortly thereafter, during this time that we were meeting and connecting, and I know she's been connecting with Joetta, and she poured her heart out, and she shared her heart about what Jesus was doing in her life, and I was brought to tears. She was brought to tears. She was blubbering mess up there in front of everyone. Sorry, did I say mess? She was a blubbering picture of beauty up in front of everyone as she was speaking, and it was so cool to see Jesus at work in her life, and that's what she brings to the table, and it's been such a treasure to know you and have you a part of the Alliance Youth Program these past years. So, Maddie, what are your future plans?
So, I'm going to go to Bethany Lutheran, that's in Mankato. I'm going to major in elementary ed with a minor in special ed and an possible emphasis in math. And then I'll also be playing basketball there. So
fantastic. You do like basketball, just a little.
Just a little.
Just a little. Just a little. Little. Yeah, she's better than me at it. There's a good thing. She's the reason we don't have a hoop ear yet because, you know, I'm insecure. So anyway, thank you for sharing your plans, graduates. I do have a gift for you here, but you don't have to grab them yet because you know, may hold the microphone yet at some point. At least DJ will. But at this time, we're going to do something a little bit different as part of this graduation service here today. And it has to do with our fifth grade class. Are there any fifth graders here right now? Could you stand, fifth graders? Yeah, come on up, Henry and Sophia Brecken. Yep, yeah, you guys come on up, okay? Ian, Denver, all right, Timmy, perfect, Brady. Yep, you guys come on up, all right? So this is our fifth grade class. Now, our fifth graders, in addition to our seniors, have reached a significant milestone. They have journeyed through the Awana program. They are here, and they are ready to make the transition into Alliance Youth for their 6th through 12th grade years. And we have a huge incoming 5th grade class. I'm super excited about them. They were with us this past week in midweek. And Denver, did you win? Again, yeah, you won. A 5th grader beat the 6th through 8th graders in some Mario Kart we were doing in here with pool noodles and balloons and hitting each other all over the place. I mean, it was great. It was awesome. It was really, really cool to be able to see them come in and just partake as part of our Alliance Youth family. And we want to pass the torch today, because as we commission our 12th grade graduates, why don't you come on over here as well so that we can see you and get you guys in the camera shot here. We've got some Bibles for you, 5th graders, because we're big at Alliance Youth. Bring your own Bible. So seniors, if you want to hand out some of those Bibles to our students here, I would love for them to be able to have them. And 5th graders, your charge is to bring those Bibles to every single Alliance Youth event that we have from here until you graduate, and then continue to carry a Bible with you everywhere you go for the rest of your life. I'm big on that because the Word of God is living and active. It transforms hearts and minds, and it's used for everything, training up in righteousness and correcting and rebuking, as 2 Timothy tells us. And we are always in the Word of God here at Alliance Youth. So it's important for you to be able to have this resource with you and to be able to come and engage together. So we surrender to a gospel-centered life every single week as part of Alliance Youth. Our seniors know it. They've gotten me for the last 3.5 years or so, and I don't let them off easy. I'll let all you know here. I like to call it a welcoming culture of discomfort that we like to create. Why? Because all growth is found on the far side of discomfort. And these seniors have been, for the last 3.5 years, continuously put into uncomfortable situations, all with the intent to be able to surrender more to Jesus and to be able to grow in their faith. And as a result, I've asked DJ here to pray a prayer of commissioning over our fifth grade class as our seniors prepare to pass the torch in a way to the next generation. So DJ, why don't you pray over our fifth graders, and then fifth graders, you hang out up here along with our grads, because we've got one more prayer of commissioning that's going to happen after that.
All right. Bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for all these kids. We thank you that you have brought them here. And Lord, I pray that you will use them in ways that we don't know, and that they will help change the world and help show who you are to other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, DJ. At this time, I'd like to invite the elders up. And that microphone there, DJ, can actually go to Mr. Brad Hoheisel. Every year as part of our graduation Sunday service, our elders pray a prayer of commissioning. And at this time, could our congregation stand as well? And if you just wouldn't mind raising out that right hand or an arm towards our seniors here. Elders, if you could maybe lay hands on some of our fifth graders or our seniors. Brad has offered to pray, and we are going to pray a prayer of commissioning as our seniors go out and as we prepare to begin equipping this next generation of disciples.
Father God, we just thank you for this glorious day, Lord, like we sang already. Glorious day, Lord. We thank you for these young kids, Lord, their families, their teachers, Lord. We just pray your presence over them, Lord. May their ears be on, their hearts be open, and be willing to be transformed. We just thank you and praise you as they come in, Lord, to this youth group, Lord, to learn and be transformed by your amazing love, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for that. And for the young men and ladies that are going out, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. What a glorious day for family and friends to see this happen. What a great, great thing, Lord. We just thank you and praise you. But not more glorious than your love for us, Lord. May they never forget the word, their life verses that they have in their hearts, Lord. May they come to know you, grow in you even more as they go out and do their heart's desire, Lord. So we just thank you and praise you for that. And we ask for your presence here today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to invite the worship team up to lead us in our next song. Thank you, fifth graders. Thank you, graduates. You'll hear from our graduates a little bit later. One of the things we recognize is that this church family has been incredibly generous with your prayers, with your giving, with your love, with your mentorship to each of our graduates. And I've asked each of our graduates to share a little bit about maybe some of their personal transformation, and also to be able to take an opportunity now to thank anyone who has really had an impact on their life. So without further ado, I've asked DJ to speak first, and we're going to hear from each of our graduates in turn. And DJ, you can utilize this mic here.
Hello? All right, it's on. Well, first of all, I'd just like to thank every single person that's in the church family. You guys do a lot, and you guys give a lot to the church, and you guys give a lot to youth group, and I'm so thankful for it. First, I'd like to just talk about my, I guess, transformation to youth group. The first time that I was really made uncomfortable, especially since Chris came along. Definitely made me really uncomfortable, but we took a missions trip to Providence last year, and my eyes really opened. There's a whole bunch of poverty over there, and it really showed that kids are willing to listen to what you have to say, and their hearts can be changed. And it was very eye-opening, and I learned a lot about what God can do. And then hopefully this summer we are going to Florida, to Orlando, for a life trip. And I'm really hoping that God will again continue to work in all of us that are going, and I'm excited to see what he has for me and what I can learn while I'm there. I'd like to give thank yous to, again, the church family for giving to the youth group and allowing us to go on these trips. You guys are so gracious in your giving through fundraisers, and it wouldn't allow us to go on these trips if we didn't have it. So thank you. Secondly, I'd like to thank the audio-visual team that I've been a part of for the last 2 years, especially my partner in the back, Joey. Thank you for allowing me to run slides and run sound with you for the last 2 years. It's meant a lot. And lastly, I'd like to thank my parents and my family. You guys mean a lot. I can do without you. Thank you.
Thanks, DJ. I'd like to present you with this Bible, along with some other goodies, including the copy of the brand new Bible you bled all over in 2019 that I've held on to for the past 3 years, specifically for this moment. So,
thank you.
Literally, it was a brand new Bible, and, well, it's his Bible now. So, Maddie, if you could come on up. Maddie has some words she'd like to share as well.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maddie. I'll start. So I grew up in the church. I went to church every Sunday and every Christmas Eve. Because of this, I was baptized at a very young age. I was baptized when I was 6. My grandma was very, influential in my life. She always would tell me that she'd be praying for me and things like that. But when I was in the youth group, during the time of COVID, we couldn't get together, we couldn't do anything, so we Zoomed. But there was this one night where Chris was like, oh, we can't Zoom, let's go watch the seminar. So we watched a seminar, and they were talking about Sarah and Abraham and how they had endless faith and trusted God and everything they did. And I was like, man, I wish I had a relationship like that. And God answered me, and he said, you will. So that was really impactful. Some of you may know, I quit basketball my junior year because of the way I was being treated. It was really hard. And for me, I identified with that sport. That was my identity. But the day I quit, as Chris was saying, he just happened to pick up ashes from Joetta. Well, I happened to be there because nobody was at home, and my dad didn't want me to go home by myself. And Chris walked in, and he goes, what happened? And Joetta told him what happened. And he knew that basketball was a huge part of my life. And so he just asked to pray for me. And so that really played a huge role. After quitting, I did distance learning for the rest of the school year, and I ultimately decided to switch schools for my senior year because that's what we felt was best as a family for me. And honestly, it was, because at my new school, we have this thing called Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and I go there every week, and it's really nice because I've made really good friends through that, and we've had really great connections, and my relationship has definitely grown. So that has been really important for me because I'm not able to make it to church every week just because life happens. So I have that. I'd like to say thanks to my family, especially my older brother. He was there for me. He just calls me and talks to me on random days, and it's really nice. I like to thank the McLeans, all of them, especially Joetta, because Joetta's always been there for me, no matter what. She's like my second mom. And I'll tell people, oh, I'm going over to my second mom's house. And they're like, what? You have another mom? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Especially when she picked me up from my accident, when the lady backed up into me. Because we didn't have Wi-Fi at our house, and one of my teammates exposed me to COVID, and I had to quarantine. And we didn't have Wi-Fi at my house, so I was heading over to Joetta's, and this lady backed up into me, and she ended up picking me up so my parents could continue working. My mom came, and she's like, Maddie, are you okay? I was like, I'm fine. I'd like to thank both the pastors for helping me grow in my faith. Especially when Chris came and prayed for me. And I'd just lastly like to thank all my church family. You guys have been amazing, and I'd just like to thank you all. So.
You just get a normal Bible, Maddie. I don't have a bloody one for you.
Okay.
You know, it's amazing. We don't always know the impact that we have. Church, you have impact by virtue of Christ in you. Hannah, I was going to make a short joke, but I figured, you know, she's had enough today.
Walk around with a flip phone. You know.
Touche.
Okay. I'm Hannah, and I'll just get right into it. So I have been a part of this church family for my entire life, and I have been supported and stretched in my faith throughout my time here. I am so blessed to constantly have your prayers and support in my walk with Jesus. I first felt God calling me into ministry in 2016 at Big Sandy Camp. However, at that time I was scared, so I never took the call to heart and I didn't tell anybody. I was scared of what God was calling me to and apprehensive about the plan that he had in place. It was like I understood that God was calling me to something bigger, yet I was scared what his bigger plan was. Later in 2019, at the Life Conference, I finally publicly accepted God's call for me. Despite receiving this call, I still do not exactly know what God's plan is for my life, but I have faith that his work will get done, and I just get the opportunity to be a part of it. Through these past few years, I have been a part of the worship team, and specifically the youth worship team. It has been an amazing opportunity for me to grow in my faith. When I first began playing the piano and singing for church, my heart was vastly different than it is now. Often, when I first began leading worship, I was focused mainly on myself and less on God. I understood that we were worshiping God, yet I would choose to focus on if the music was good. And if it wasn't, then I felt responsible and considered myself unworthy. While I am so unworthy of God and his amazing grace, I now understand what it means to have a heart of worship. I now know that I am free to fully worship our Lord and Savior, no matter how good or bad the music ends up being. I am no longer focused on myself and what people think. Instead, I care more about that my heart is in the right place to fully worship God. As I transition out of the role of being the youth group worship leader, I am excited to see the new leaders that are brought up. My prayer is that they would be empowered to continue this ministry, not focusing on themselves, but instead on God, who is the only one worthy of our worship. I would like to encourage younger students who are part of the youth group or who are coming up into the youth group to be involved with the amazing opportunities our youth group has. This church body has contributed much support to our youth group through their prayers and financial donations. And I would like to thank everyone that is in this church family for making these youth events and trips possible. So I encourage every student to take part in these events and trips because there is so much growth and transformation that happens when we are willing to say yes to what God is calling us to. As I am transitioning out of high school, there have been many people in this church who have invested in me throughout my time as a student. I would like to thank my small group leaders, Samantha, Lynn, Kara, and Kate. You all have helped me to dive deeper into my faith by pushing me to own my faith. Thank you for taking the time to invest in me and to build relationships with me. Your hearts for Jesus and for people who have taught me what it means to encourage one another and to build up other believers. Thank you, Pete Ring, for how selflessly you pour into me and our entire family. Pete, you truly realize what it means to be fully reliant on Christ, and because of this, your motivation is that others will experience God's love through serving. It is clear to us that your acts of service to me and my family come from the love for Jesus and people. I am thankful for your boldness and willingness to share from your own transformation and to encourage others. A huge thank to Pat Van Orsdale. Many of you probably don't know this, but a number of years ago, my mom had been praying for a piano. The keyboard we owned recently had broken, and my mom was wanting a piano for her kids to be able to play again. Not too long After my mom began to pray, Pat came up and asked her out of the blue if she was wanting a free piano. Pat had no idea that my mom had been praying for a piano, and yet she had a leading from the Holy Spirit, and she was willing to say yes. And if it was not for Pat's obedience, it is hard to say where I would be in my musical journey, and specifically with my heart of worship ministry. Thank you, Pat, for your obedience to the Lord. Our family has been so blessed from it. Thank you, Lane Gable. I have been so blessed throughout the time on the worship team with you. You have a heart for Jesus and worship, and it is just a blessing to work alongside you in this ministry. Thank you for the opportunity to lead, for giving me the opportunity to lead worship and empower me in this way. Annie Gable, thank you for being a mentor to me these past few years. It has been such a joy to get to know you better and to have someone encouraging me in my faith journey. You love Jesus and people well, and I will always look up to you, not just because I'm short, but because of your strong faith in the Lord. I aspire to become the woman of God you are. Thank you, Chris and Laura. I have loved getting to know both of you throughout your time in Little Falls. Laura, you have taught me how to have a tremendous amount of patience. I will always be in awe of how you can show Chris so much patience. I truly do not know how you can do it. Chris, thank you for how you have invested in me and helped me to grow deeper in my faith. I am also appreciative that you kept all my medical forms on file. It truly means the world. Finally, I would like to thank my parents and family. You guys have seen it all. The good, the bad, the ugly, the late night breakdowns, and all of my dramatic episodes. Yet, you still have chosen to love me despite how much of a skunk I can be. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for how you have constantly invested in me. I have been so blessed to have your support and encouragement in my life in everything that I do. Thank you for stretching me and encouraging me in my faith. As I leave high school, I will be attending Crown College this fall and will major in business administration and marketing, and then a minor in worship ministry. I look forward to my time at Crown, and I'm excited to grow deeper in my faith. My prayer is that I will follow the Lord's leading and continue to follow the path that he has set for my life and the call that he has for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. For those of you currently panicking because you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to preach yet, know this, I usually bring up 8 pages of notes. Today I only brought up 4, so we're good. Well, if you have a Bible with you, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 20 today. And there's quite a bit of parallel between the blessing song that we just sang and our scripture this morning in Psalm 20. They're both prayers for victory. There we go. The people of God, they'd sing this psalm in Psalm 20 as part of a liturgy of prayer for the king before he would go out to battle. And this psalm is an expression of unity between the people and their king as all were involved in seeking God's favor. We know this psalm comes from David's time, and it's nestled in a series of psalms, Psalms 15 through 20 form, that all form what's called a concentric pattern. It means that thematically, they have the same point, though they do differ slightly in their focus. They're all linked, and they point to the majesty and necessity of God as our source. 15 and 24 are about the same things. 16 and 23 are about the same things, and on and on and on. It's what we call a chiastic structure in the study of the scriptures, and each psalm reflects a piece of this concentric pattern of holy living. The first half of the series of psalms is a focus on integrity and purity, while the second half of the series of psalms expresses the experience of moving from confidence and commitment through anguish and abandonment to comfort, insight, and hope. In many ways, Psalms 15 through 24 are a snapshot of the Christian life. Our graduates, They've grown in purity and integrity during their years here at Alliance Church. And they have the confidence and commitment of God Himself living in them and working through them. And as they move forward from here today, commissioned to step beyond these walls into the next best thing that God has for them, they do so like the kings of old, having the full support of their congregation, their nation behind them. I want to hone in on Psalm 20 today because it offers us an amazing picture of congregational and community unity, fitting for a day when our graduates are going to leave the protection of our church walls and they are going to trust God to deliver the victory as they engage in war on His behalf. Let's read Psalm 20 together, starting in verse 1. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to His anointed. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call. There's a great deal of confidence and awareness of God's kingship present in this psalm. This is a psalm that the people, the congregation, they would sing it during times of distress. It's a prayer of victorious trust that displays confidence in God's anointed leadership. In the Old Testament, the congregation actively participated in the royal preparations for war. Maybe an enemy had already attacked. Maybe their military intelligence had shown an intent to attack. Regardless of the circumstance, at stake is the royal glory, but also God's honor is threatened. This psalm is an intercessory prayer for the king, and therefore, because it's a prayer for the king, it's also a prayer for the kingdom of God on earth. There's distress in the kingdom. So the people invoke the name of the God of Jacob. This is an ancient term that expressed God's ancient relationship with His people. And they invoke His name to protect the king and by extension, the kingdom. Take a look at verse 1 again. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Now, normally when I've preached a grad Sunday message in the past, it's been largely a message focused on our graduates, like I would be preaching to three people in this whole room. It's kind of been focused on one last encouragement, one last lesson, one last chance to speak into your lives as you get commissioned to go into the world, to puff you up, to make you feel confident in yourself and in your abilities. You got this, right? And from the world's perspective, that makes complete sense because it mirrors the graduation scene of today. Graduation season actually sees a lot of us treating you graduates like you're the greatest thing since the Green Bay Packers, the greatest professional sports team in the history of the world. Like you're the answer to the host of problems this world has, which I don't think God appreciates, since it's He who enables us. It's He who gives us every good and perfect thing, and He should get the glory in the here and now. I'm sorry to say, graduates, this isn't a day about you. It's a day about Jesus. But at the same time, I don't know how many graduation speeches you've listened to over the past decade or so, but they kind of all follow a similar theme, so to speak. A lot of us during graduation season, speakers in particular, we treat you graduates like you're all going to die or something. I mean, like we're losing touch with you, so to speak. Right? Graduation speeches, they're meant to puff you up, okay? They're also, in some ways, sending the message that we're losing you for good. Which I think is really, really strange because how many times you hear about you're leaving, you're never coming back, you're going to do great things. Listen to graduation speeches, seriously. The words sound great on the surface, but the subtle undertones of loss are present even within the montage of how great your future is going to be. There's a sense of loss there. Even today, right now, it's a bit of a mixed bag of emotions if I'm being completely honest. There's a sense of anticipation, yes, but on some level, there's also a sense of loss. The only people who aren't feeling that sense of loss are your parents, because they were ready for you to be gone 6 months ago. And they're sitting here right now, and they're like, freedom, it's so close. Unless you have younger siblings, then they're like, why did we have so many children? Why did we have so many children? But for the most part, they're ready for you to move on. And quite frankly, so am I. Not because I don't value you, not because I'm not going to miss you. I am ready, and your parents are ready, and we as a church body are ready for you to move on, because God has been equipping you for a very long time, for this moment in time. He's been equipping you to go against the grain, to make this graduation season a season of witness rather than a season of self-glorification. So this graduation message today, is it for you? Yes, here it is. Are you ready for this? I'm so proud of you. I am. We all are. Seriously, we are proud of you. Enjoy this moment. Enjoy this moment in time. You've done well. And in this season, in this moment of time, do your best to be other-centered as well. The time that you have in the spotlight right now, use the light that's shined on you, this opportunity, to hold up a mirror that further reflects that light onto Jesus. But well done. We're behind you 100%. You are ready. You have been equipped for what's next on account of God's Spirit living in you and working through you. Well done, graduates. Well done. To the rest of us, this is our opportunity today, church family. An opportunity to participate in the royal preparations for war, because our graduates are leaving. They're ready to take the fight from our city walls into whatever the context that the Lord is going to have for them as part of their next steps. This is a day of celebration because it's a day about Jesus. It's a day where we can look back and reflect on what Jesus has already done to get you graduates here to this place. You've heard from them this morning, the impact that the Christ has had in their life. And it's also a day of celebration where we can focus on what Jesus is going to continue to do through you, what he's going to do in the next generation. This is an opportunity of celebration where we, the people of God, the church, can ask for God's royal help for our graduates and our next generation as they live on mission and in God-promised victory beyond these walls. Can I get an amen for that? This is a fantastic opportunity to celebrate. And how do we do that? Psalm 20 paints us a beautiful picture, and it starts with prayer. Our first step this morning in part of these royal preparations for war, we are invited to pray. Now, there's seven key steps that are nestled within the nine verses of these psalms where the congregation of God prepares for war. Let's take a look at verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. If you're not familiar with the term Zion, it's used in the Bible over 150 times. It literally means fortification, and it paints this picture of something that is raised up, a monument, so to speak. And there's a lot of physical and geographical type of assertions that go along with that term in the Old Testament in particular. It refers to the city of David. It refers to the city of Jerusalem. Zion is referred to in those contexts. The city of God is referred to as Zion. There's actually a mount that is called Zion, and it goes beyond an actual physical location, okay, to include a spiritual location as well in the temple, and it is referred to as the land of Judah, and it's referred to as the nation of Israel. There's a physical location or national identity piece that's associated with the term Zion in the Old Testament, but when you move into the New Testament, something shifts with the way that that term is used, and it takes on a greater spiritual meaning. And it actually refers to God's spiritual kingdom that Jesus ushers in. So that's where our help comes from. It is the Lord who provides food and drink for the army. It is the Lord that takes care of all of the king's needs, all of our graduates' needs, all of our needs as we go out in the battle. The Lord's presence goes with his people. He goes ahead of us just like he went ahead of the Israelite forces of old. So that's our second point. We are to trust that the Lord goes before us. We are to believe that he has got this. Verse 3, may he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. During military campaigns, the favor of God was sought by means of sacrifices and burnt offerings. And this was an act of devotion and submission to the Lord. It's not the same type of sacrifice that we refer to for the atonement of sin. Okay, that's a different type of sacrifice that they would undergo. This type of sacrifice was one that they would do specifically in wartime and as part of the royal preparations for war. And it was done to seek God's favor, but also to consecrate a person for war. We have the same opportunity today to offer sacrifice that produces an aroma pleasing to God. Not for the atonement of sins, because it is only by Christ's blood that that occurs. Again, this is a different type of sacrifice, but to give of ourselves in a manner that pleases God and helps us to draw near to Him. Things like spending one-on-one time with Him, dedicated one-on-one time, tithing, worshiping, serving others, all of these different pieces, and there's plenty of more that we could mention this morning. They all help us grow and stay connected to our Heavenly Father. And when we give Him the first and best fruits of our time, our energy, our finances, our everything, it creates an aroma that is pleasing to God. And that's our third point. We are to offer to Jesus our first and best fruits of everything. Verse 4, may He give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. It's no secret in Scripture. It's all over the place. The prosperity of the king is dependent 100% upon God's presence and favor. The king's heart had to show a walk of integrity with God. Following humbly after the Lord is a prerequisite for wisdom. And a wise heart produces plans that come to fruition. You know, a good king, in times of war, he would surround himself with godly counsel because he knew the very most important thing he could do in a time of national distress was to discern and obey the will of God. And the people would aid him in his search for wisdom by praying that the Lord would grant both a wise heart and wise counsel in preparation for battle. No plan was made. No plan was made without first getting one's heart right with the Lord, obeying and discerning His will. You see, the king's heart had to be in line with God's heart, because that would be the foundation of wisdom. And then the plans that were created out of that wisdom and that submission to our Heavenly Father, those wise plans would succeed. And it was the task of the entire congregation of God's people to pray for that specific outcome. And that's point 4. The success of our plans depends upon our heart's desires aligning with God's. This means that we seek Him. This means that we learn to hear His voice individually, but we also learn to surround ourselves with others who can provide the counsel of the Spirit, because they themselves are learning to hear His voice individually within their lives. That's our first 4 points this morning. And there's a shift in the psalm. We've prayed. We've trusted. We've sacrificed. And we've planned. Now we can rejoice. We can rejoice in anticipation of the victory God's presence and favor provides to the king and by extension, His people. Take a look at verse 5 here. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. The congregation, the people of God, they rejoice over God's future victory. Remember, the psalm we're praying right now actually happens before the army even marches. Okay, this comes before. This is part of the preparations for war. But the people, they trust God to answer prayer with their whole hearts. They trust that the king who goes out in the name of Yahweh will experience His presence and favor. They raise the banners of victory as an expression of heavenly confidence even before the battle is fought. We too are to raise the victory banner and rejoice even before the battle is fought. And I'm excited to raise the victory banner on behalf of these graduates and on behalf of the next generation. And I hope you are too, because God's doing something good. You've heard stories of it this morning. Verses 6 through 8. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to His anointed. Hold on to that word there. He answers him from His heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. It is incredibly easy for us to fall into the trap of relying upon our own abilities. I want you to consider for a moment Israel's history and warfare. All of the surrounding nations in the Near East, they relied on horses and chariots for power. Kings would go to great lengths, even waging war to acquire more horses because that was their symbol of power. That's how they won in combat. Horses were power. Victory, power, control, it all came as a result of their own abilities and their own grand strategies. But when you contrast that to Israel, you see that all the way back in Deuteronomy 17, God actually prohibited. He knew. God knew what was going on in the world. It wasn't a surprise to him. God prohibited kings from acquiring great numbers of horses and chariots. He actually put a prohibition about that. And instead, he told his people, revere me. Revere the Lord. Israel's strength, it comes in its trust of the Lord and his sovereign will to be accomplished. It is by the victorious power of his right hand that the enemies of God will be brought to complete ruin, despite the best and most effective strategies of the day. Why? Because God values our faithfulness more than our effectiveness. It's point number six. We trust in the sovereign Lord's anointed. God has made a covenant with his anointed. Back in 2 Samuel 7, God made a promise, a covenant with David at that time. But this covenant actually points ahead to Jesus. God's commitment to his anointed king tells us that the anointed king, the one whom he has made this covenant with, is the divinely appointed means of his deliverance. God delivers his people through his anointed king in times of war. And God delivers his people through his anointed son, our King of kings and Lord of lords, Christ Jesus, since that day that he laid down his life on the cross. The Lord has made a covenant to give victory to his anointed, and so sure is the psalmist's trust in this promise that he views that victory has already been accomplished. It's already done. The victory is won. So it's with that assurance that we can echo the words of the Apostle Paul, that we can echo the words of the prophet Hosea, and we can say, oh, where, O death, is your victory? Oh, where, O death, is your sting? Where is it? Thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, Lord, give victory to the king, to your anointed. Answer us when we call. Boy, did God answer us when we cry out in the midst of our sin. Who answers? Jesus. This psalm, it begins and closes with a prayer for a king, God's anointed. And the people and king, they're bound together in their royal preparations for war, together seeking the Lord's face in times of distress and adversity. The people of the king, they call on the Lord, they await an answer, and they're dependent upon him, completely dependent upon him for their salvation, both here and nationally as a people. And the people and king, they find joy in the Lord's strength. A.B. Simpson once said that the ordination that every true believer must have is not the placing of human hands upon our heads, but the living power of the living God and the actual works of Christ wrought out in our lives. These are the credentials that man can understand and that no criticism can silence or neutralize. Oh, may the Holy Spirit thus choose, thus call, thus qualify, and thus seal our lives and ministries. Our prayer today, graduates, it's for the Holy Spirit to choose, to call, to qualify, and to seal your lives. To seal your ministries, no matter what context you end up in as part of your next steps. We congregants of the Church of Christ are invited to join God in this work as we too join in on the royal preparations for war. As our graduates prepare to go out, to leave these church walls, we echo with them these seven things that God would have us participate in. We and they are unified together in the pursuit of Christ and his commission. We're invited into prayer. We're invited to trust that the Lord goes before us to offer the first and best fruits of our everything. And therefore, in doing so, we align our hearts with the will of God. And we do all of this with the assurance of the joy that the victory has already been won. God's anointed, the Christ. He has conquered sin and death. And we are invited to pray, and we are invited to praise, to rightly respond to God by the worship of our lives. Would you join me in prayer as we invite the worship team up to worship one last time today as they lead us in a final song? Jesus, you are good, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the witness of your Son here on this earth. We thank you that the promise of salvation in this future day of glorification, Lord, it's near at hand. And we praise you and love you for what you have done in the hearts and lives of the next generation, and what you will continue to do to raise up disciples who are going to make more disciples, who are going to make more disciples, who are going to make more disciples. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us.